Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Nyama.
Good afternoon, Brother Zama.
Are you doing well?
I'm doing well, and I hope you're doing well, too.
Well, I'm doing well, man. I'm excited. It's a Friday. The Sabbath is upon us, and it's time to worship.
Happy Preparation Day.
Exactly. Thank you so much, and happy Preparation Day to you and yours as well. Now, those who are joining us for the first time, man, I must say that you've missed out a lot. Elder Nyama here has been having us by our hooks and giving us all what we need to know about the stewardship. But hey, you have not missed out everything, because this is one more conversation that we are having with him this afternoon. And in our stewardship segment today, we're addressing one of the most practical and sometimes controversial aspects of the Christian walk, the storehouse. Now, for Seventh-day Adventists, returning a tithe and giving offerings isn't just a tradition. It is a spiritual discipline that acknowledges God as our ultimate provider. But how does a 10% tithe in the 21st century actually fuel a global mission to reach every nation, tongue, and people? And more importantly, how does this practice bring financial peace to the giver? Now, my elder, why does the SDA Church maintain the so-called Old Testament practice of tithing, and how is it reaffirmed in the New Testament?
Well, I think we need to start first by debunking the myth or unfounded beliefs that what is in the Old Testament is old-fashioned, is not applicable in the New Testament. Because if we look at the New Testament itself, nowhere in the New Testament has tithe been done away with or abolished. Nowhere scripturally do we find that the offerings are not needed anymore. There is no command given to abolish tithes and offerings in the New Testament. In fact, Brother Zama, what we find is something even more than that. If you go to the book of Acts 4, 34 to 37, we find people selling their properties for the missionary work, that is, and for the needy. Remember, the stewardship is two-dimensional. You serve God and you serve your fellow man. Here, people were selling their properties just for the missionary work. That is, if you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, the reason why they perished is because they too also sold their property, but they did not bring all the proceeds to the disciples. Hence, they perished. And that was indicative of God's displeasure on unfaithfulness. It's a fact. Today we know that disciples, evangelists, pastors still need financial support for the missionary work. If you look also at the 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 5, we find a poor church in Macedonia giving generously to the disciples for missionary work. So this process has been going on and on. In fact, they gave more than their capabilities. They gave more than expectations. The main difference when it comes to the issue of tithing is that tithing is systematic. It's not ad hoc. You know, you've got so many number of members in the church, and you know the average they are bringing in the church. So that helps you to budget and to run the missionary work, because you know what to expect. That is why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. So tithes and offerings is a systematic way to bring order to the missionary funding. So we know what to expect. We know how to budget because we have a tithing system. It's not ad hoc.
Not ad hoc. Now, tithe versus offering. Many people use these terms interchangeably. What is the actual theological difference between returning a tithe and giving an offering?
Well, giving and returning has always been used interchangeably. But if we want to look at the true sense of what should be the case, You know, tithe is clearly defined as a 10% of an increase of one's earnings or produce, that is your salary or your produce in the field. You know, you go to Leviticus 27, verses 30 and 32, it explains that tithe is prescriptive, it's 10%, whereas offerings are referred to sometimes as free will offerings. That is how people feel God has blessed them. God has been good to them. How well they know their God has been behind them, that they decide up to how much they can. In fact, in other instances, people have given more offerings than tithes. Now, the issue of giving and returning. Before I even come to that, both offerings and tithes are commanded to be returned. Offerings are not optional. Because God says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. So offerings are not optional. But when it comes to returning, we return what God has given us. So we return tithes and offerings to the one who has blessed us. We cannot give to God, who is the creator of anything. God does not need anything. Actually, God needs you. God wants you because we lost. Oh, he lost us when we fell into sin. So we give offerings to needy people, to destitute people. But when it comes to God, we return to what he has given us. And of course, the words are used interchangeably. But to be honest with you, you can't give to God. You return to him. Because even 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? In other words, we received everything from God. So when we give back to God, we retain what he had already given us.
I'm tempted to go into, but we're not going to have time. Let me just leave it. You know, the part, because you said that, but the increase part.
Yes.
But hey, it's we're going to spend a lot of time, and we don't have time for it today. And now, Jesus praised a poor widow who gave very little monetarily.
Yes.
Now, does stewardship depend on the amount given or the spirit and the sacrifice behind the gift? And I'm asking this quite carefully because the days that we live in seem to impress the church. That's why you see people who give big offerings, big tithes. They attract positions in churches. They attract influence. They attract command in the church simply because of how much they gave.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, even if you drive a big car, you know, you draw attention, you turn heads. But that is not how God works. You know, there is a big difference between giving and sacrificing. You know, people can give out of their own abundance. If I have a million and I give 1,000 rand and a poor person has got only 100 rand and he or she gives all the 100 rand, she has given more than me. That's what Christ said. You know, a sacrifice must make a dent in your lifestyle. This poor widow gave her last penny. And you know, in the Old Testament, there is another widow who gave her last meal to the prophet. These two poor widows define what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice is that which was aimed to satisfy self, but then it is diverted to serve God or fellow men. It is a denial of self, but for the cause of God or for fellow men. It is not amount dependent. It is selflessness and self-sacrifice that drive the giving. You know, most township churches, we are told, are built by pensioners, elderly, and poor people. Because even Ellen White wrote in 1886 in the Review and Herald and said, experience shows that the spirit of benevolence is found with those with limited means than among the more wealthy. The most liberal donations for the cause of God or for the relief of the needy come from the poor person's purse. That's what she wrote. So quantity is immaterial. It is the sacrifice that counts. how much is left? If I'm a millionaire and I give 100,000, it will seem huge. But I can tell you, there is an elderly person there who earns mutende, you know. And from that mutende, she gives 50% of mutende, what she earns from what she earns from the government. She has given more because out of my abundance, I still have so much left. I haven't really sacrificed. I've just given.
I'm worried, though, about because you're saying that it's got to make a dent. So if you're a millionaire and you give it 100,000, there's an abundance that you left with because it doesn't. It hasn't made a dent yet. On the poor woman, it has made a dent. I'm you know, as you're talking, I'm reminded of the story of Solomon who made a major sacrifice. I think 1,000 bulls he gave, and of course, it didn't make a dent, but interestingly, that very evening, God visits him. You know the story. And he says, "Chief, hey, tell me, what do you want?"
Yeah.
Now, much as it did not make a dent, it seems to have impressed God.
Yes. And it has impressed
and,
God.
And this is contrary to looking at a sacrifice having made a dent, as it were.
Yes. In fact, you know why it impressed God? Because there are so many rich people who give nothing at all. Nothing at all. That is why the statement of Ellen White says, you know, the relief and the cause of God is funded by the poor person's purse. He says, than among more wealthy. So wealthy people don't care. They say they don't need God. So when wealthy people even give out of their abundance, God appreciates it because most of them say, who is this God that we should serve? They don't serve God. They don't care because they have everything. So what is it that you want them to do? That is the challenge they have. God will appreciate even the rich, even if they give out of their abundance. But when we talk about a sacrifice, they are not sacrificing. They are giving. And giving is still good. But when you talk of a sacrifice, is when you will give like the poor widow who gave her last penny, like the poor widow who gave her last meal. That is sacrifice. That's the difference. But giving is still good.
Yeah. Now, let's draw towards a conclusion. If someone is struggling to trust God with their finances, what promises does Malachi 3, or the life of Christ, not only Malachi 3, but the life of Christ himself, would you share to encourage them to start their journey of faithful stewardship?
You know, we've got models of faithfulness, even in the Bible, even amongst ourselves. You can look around the people who are faithful, but let's look at those who are recorded biblically. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. And then Maurice Vanden says, we must impart in order to receive. The one who stops imparting is going to stop receiving. Even our capacity to receive is maintained only in giving. It's when we give that we receive. Faithfulness is the key. If you look at what happened to Abraham, God came to him and said, leave your country, your people, your household, and go to a place I will show you, but I will make a great nation out of you. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and gave him those promises. And he didn't stop there. In 22 verse 2, Genesis, he says, take your son, sacrifice him for me. Abraham obeyed faithfully. Now, what do we see in Genesis 13 verse 2? We read, Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock, in silver, and in gold. That is what faithfulness will do. But we don't come to God to be rich. No, we obey God. But when we obey him, God will bless us anyhow. In this case, Abraham, because he obeyed, he was blessed beyond measure. We see him even in Sodom and Gomorrah, when he rescues Lot. Lot and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah were taken by other four kings, Abraham, out of his household, organized 318 men. Now you can imagine yourself, how does Abraham have 318 men in his household?
It's a private
army.
That
is how God blessed him.
Mm.
God blessed him. So he went behind those kings, four kings, and rescued Lot and everybody else. Faithfulness rewards beyond measure. I mean, David kills a bear and a lion. I can tell you, not even David can kill a lion. He won't kill a lion.
Mm.
But because God was with him, he was faithful to God, he killed even Goliath with stones. I mean, impossibilities against all odds. That is what God will do when you are faithful to him, when you obey him. Faithfulness rewards with great prosperity. You will conquer greatness, just like David, just like Abraham. You look at Joseph's faithfulness. It made him a prime minister in a foreign land. Stewardship is the test of faithfulness. You are going to be tested to see whether you can stand when you are tried to give, to return under all circumstances.
Mm.
It is not circumstantial. But if we remain faithful to God, I can tell you, Brother Zama, you will be surprised. Faithfulness rewards with great prosperity.
Yeah, faithfulness rewards with great prosperity. It's a fantastic place to leave it at. Elder Nyama, I must thank you so much, man, for coming through. We've really had fantastic conversations. I've learned quite a lot from these conversations, and I do hope that our listeners also have learned quite a lot. Wishing you a fantastic and a blessed Sabbath ahead.
Thank you so much, and happy Sabbath to you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.